This is the smell of a warm, three-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get
Beatles are on. If you hear the Beatles at the top of Spike's Car Radio, that means the world's biggest Beatle fan is here, or a Beatle. But in this case, it's the world's biggest Beatle fan, SCR co-host Jerry Seinfeld.
Hello. I must be going. I came to say I cannot stay. I must be going. And I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going.
What?
I must be going. Now, you comedy fans out there know that is a Marx Brothers song. And you're going to be hearing more about those boys and the two boys you're listening to right now in the future.
You're promoting our development. That's what you're doing.
Hello, I must be going. It's my favorite Marx Brothers song.
I was going to ask you, we're playing the Beatles. This was the first Beatles album that I ever saw. This was, see this album cover, Sgt. Pepper's?
That was the first?
I was a little kid.
Yeah, right.
And there was a record player, and this was on top, and you're drawn to the colors.
Sure.
The guys in the suits, and so you look closely, you're trying to make sense. The little dummy there, off to the right. Who are these people? How did they get them all together?
We were just at an event, Spike and I, with a bunch of comics for Netflix, and we were chatting with Jimmy Carr, the hugely popular, successful, and brilliantly funny Brit comic, and he was talking about Bills. You know, in the beginning of the opening number, Mr. Kite, the first song of Sgt. Pepper, and they mentioned, that's the first time I ever heard about a bill, and Mr. Kite is topping the bill. It's very British way of producing a variety show. Anyway, well, that was really fun talking to him. We just came from this wild event, this Netflix is a joke comedy event at Ten Sarandos's place, and they had every comic in the business was there, right?
It looked like it.
Just about every comic I could think of was. It was a lot of fun.
And if they weren't there, someone was calling them mm-hmm. to tell them about what was happening there. You know what I noticed about it, and I meant to tell you, there was another executive I know who works for Netflix, and he was wearing the ring, the Oura ring.
Yes, Sebastian was wearing one too.
He had one too?
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what this ring is, it's a little, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it, a healthometer ring?
That's a good description. What they call it is a wearable.
A wearable.
But your description is actually more apt. It's more descriptive. It's one of right. these things you wear. It's like a Fitbit, but it's a ring, basically, is what it is.
Yeah. And he said his ring predicted COVID. Or knew that he had COVID
right.
before he had COVID.
Yes.
All his numbers started trending down.
Your numbers go down, yeah.
And he didn't know what was happening. You bought me that ring and I really loved it, but I started living for a ring.
That's the idea.
Tried to please ring.
You try to please ring. Nobody else is thinking about you. At least have a ring that gives a shit.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is good. And we went to this event, which we started in Santa Monica in a very special car.
Yeah.
Franz von Holzhausen. Heard you saying very nice things about the Model 3 design.
Yeah.
And sent me a text. He said, do you think you guys would like to spend some time in a Model 3 performance? And I said, absolutely. And you got in it and drove.
Yeah.
And tell us your thoughts.
It was my first time ever. Larry David drove me just a couple blocks in his X, the Model X, when that first came out. And I thought it was kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
But that was probably 5 years ago. This is a Model 3, which I much prefer the packaging and the proportions. The proportions are very, very good on this car. The sight lines are amazing. The details are amazing. You know, if you like door handles and visor mirror flaps, if those are the window buttons, if that's your thing, it's my thing. I like tiny, tiny aspects of things. I'm not interested in things. I like the little parts of things. This car's, all the details are done. So it was my first time in one of those, and they're very, very, very pleasant. And as Spike explained to me, you don't compare it to a car. You think of it as a new idea, a new thing, and it will please you. This car is determined to please you and make your transportation efficient, comfortable, enjoyable, handsome. You feel handsome in it. You know, clothes to me is like your overcoat. That's your car. That's what do you wear? That's your car is what you wear in metal, in glass, and rubber.
Right.
And this is a handsome, I would describe it as a nice suede jacket.
Now, you took it for a little ride around the airport before we left, and you had taken out your Mercedes diesel, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
69 220D.
And that was the car we were going to take. And you drove the Model 3, and then you said, let's take this instead. Why?
Yeah. I just knew it would be too...
uncomfortable.
It would be an affront to your senses. Diesels, which I love, are rattly, loud, smelly. They're slightly offensive. At the time, in 1969, it was an incredibly responsible, practical solution to driving and owning a car because they lasted forever. They're very economical, indestructible. And I love that a car with Mercedes engineering expertise would focus on making something for someone who might be buying the last car of their life.
Right.
And let's make something that will last them their entire life.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about diesels, Mercedes particularly. But, you know, it's this thing is so slick and smooth, the Tesla. I just didn't think you would be able to adjust to it.
There are just some moments where you just don't want to be bothered by noise. You just want the car to do the work for you. And that's why I always say, you're not... I think of this as a new kind of driving that you're adding on top of all the other types you're doing.
Right.
Vintage, you know, muscle cars, supercars, and then you have this new thing. When you're a little beat, when you're driving in a place that's got bumpy roads and it's a mess, when we know there's going to be traffic. What did you think of the autopilot when you first turned that on? Did that freak you out?
No, I've used it in some other cars that when they have the big lens in the grill. I have a Panamera Turismo Turbo S, and I've used it. It doesn't stay in the lane, but it has what do they call it? Active cruise control, I think.
Right,
it's called.
Right.
And I use it a bunch of times on the LIE on Long Island, going back and forth to Long Island, and then I got tired of it. I like to drive and I like to be tired and I like to work, and I like stress and strain because I do transcendental meditation.
Right.
So I enjoy the stress and strain of driving, and. But I really appreciate it. I appreciated the thoroughness of the engineering of the Tesla.
Yeah.
Very thorough.
Right.
Deeply thought out. And like we were saying, it's very iPhone-y as a compliment. Deep think, you know. A lot of work went into that car to make it work like that.
Yeah.
So it's super impressive in everything it does.
Yeah.
And I could see owning it and enjoying it.
What kind of drives?
anything during the week.
Anything
during the week.
Yeah.
I could see you could make that's Tesla during the week and explosions on the weekend.
I'm really loving driving this thing. One, because as the listeners know, I'm always having to steal my wife's car and she gets angry when I try to take her car now. She'd rather I didn't drive it. But that's mostly because I give her a full report on what I see on the wheels and what I see inside the car. So now that I have my own...
You're keeping this car? You're going to keep this car?
I would keep it. Yeah, if they said, why don't you just keep it, I'd keep it. I love it.
Do you like the color?
When you and I were leaving work the other day on Melrose, and we were at the red light and the light changed, and you saw me take off.
Yeah.
The performance package is what's in this car.
It was like, you know how in those old movies when they call it iris down, it's like a black circle that just turns and
yeah.
that becomes little and then disappears. That's what the back of the car looked like. It looked like someone just irising out a shot at the end of a feature. It's so fast.
0-60 is reportedly 3.1, but it feels high twos. I haven't tested it. I don't know, and I'm sure it is 3.1. I don't know why it feels so different. Maybe it's that it's all four wheels, but it throws you back into the seat and is fast, and that's not even the fastest car they make. And then there's that, there's just the quiet. The quiet.
It's a different kind of speed. It's THX 1138 speed. it's Star Trek hyperdrive speed. You don't feel the car doesn't work at it.
Yeah.
At creating the speed. That's yes. what it is. Back in 1972, my friend got the first Honda 750 four cylinder we had ever seen. And his father actually bought it, but we used to mess around on it. And I used to say, that's not a throttle, that's automatic scenery control.
Right.
You can just make the scenery go by mm-hmm. at any speed you mm-hmm. want. Mm-hmm. And the Tesla is the closest to what that yeah. was. Automatic scenery control.
And it's a different kind of acceleration.
Yeah.
So I have the Touring, the GT3 Touring, which, you know, by the way, I'm absolutely loving. Though it took five solid drives for me to then get in it and go, okay, I'm in love with this thing.
Right.
I am now in love. But the acceleration is different in an electric car.
Of course.
Again, it's another thing, and I think it's fine to have both. I would not
it's
take
one. It's
fine
to have anything, Spike. It's fine.
No, but listeners, they always go, it's boring. You know, you're not going to give up any of your
you're
cars.
You're boring.
You're boring.
That's why you don't have a podcast.
Yeah. I think everyone at this point has
yeah.
a podcast.
So
I'm just digging
that's
it.
That's what's going to happen to podcasts. There's going to be nobody left to listen to them everyone will be doing one.
Because we're driving to work and I have a drive now, I listen to podcasts. I actually listen to this podcast for the first time. These little one-on-one shows is
right.
one we're doing right now.
Wow.
They're actually enjoyable. You feel like you're sitting with the guys. I felt like I was sitting with Spike and Zuckerman.
If you can find guys that you like that much, that's amazing.
I like Zuckerman.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Spike guy, but I liked Zuckerman. I liked listening to him
yeah.
talk. But and I listen to Marc Maron, you start to understand the conversation. People just want to be sitting in that empty chair we leave for them, just listening
mm-hmm.
and chatting. You feel
right.
like you did something.
Yeah.
As long as you keep it interesting. Collecting Cars has some great stuff. They're one of our sponsors. Look at this. Aston Martin Vanquish Works manual conversion. The Vanquish is a super rare example of the last hand-built Aston Martin. And thanks to its genuine works, full manual gear shift upgrade, you've got a very special car. Two-owner Gulf specification. The cherry on top is the paint color. The very rare Strathmore Red, Jerry.
Strathmore?
Strathmore!
I stayed there once at a weekend in Liverpool.
Swiggins and Peabody's rich nephew, Strathmore. 37,000 miles. What is this? A perfect gift for a junior racer. Oh, these little cars. Ferrari 126 C4 children's car. Look at that. Did you ever buy your kids little expensive cars like this?
We had a go-kart once, electric go-kart.
In the early 1980s, these little models racked up 10 races and 10 pole positions. The final version won the 1984 Belgian Grand Prix, and now your kid can get the little kid version of it. Awesome gift for a junior Ferrari fan. And then here, look at this, 2007 Porsche Cayman spec race car. Wow. almost like the car that Johnny Lieberman's going to Pikes Peak in. Cayman S race car that's ready to go on collected cars. 3.4 liter flat six, X51 baffles and swirl pots.
Swirl pots?
That's a new word. What does that mean?
That's from the Witches of Eastwick, I think.
A fantastic track toy. Chris Harris is collectingcars.com. Go there, check it out. Sell your car there, too. They've got a big, fat global audience. It's terrific. All right. See, my Tesla's telling me I left all the trunks open, Jerry.
That's funny.
Is it? I don't know if you heard, but on that that tragic sinking of the Felicity Ace, we've been going through the cars.
Felicity is a great name for a sinking ship.
There was a Honda Prelude SIR. One man's long-awaited project car went down with the ship, and it wasn't insured. Well, isn't the ship insured?
One would think.
And it's out of all the cars that went down, impressive that this is the one folks are really kind of globbing onto. The Drive did a big piece on it right here. The SIR trim was a limited production run of Prelude intended for Japanese markets.
Wow.
Hawkins estimates somewhere between around 3,000 were produced, and Honda only ever planned for a maximum of 5,000. And
I love that era of Hondas.
Look, there's the car right there.
Oh, I love the Preludes. I love the early Civics. I love the first Honda Accord, the first proper car that they ever made, four-door. I had a friend had one of those. He was working at a TV station in Watertown, New York, and we drove up to visit him, and he just bought that. I'll never forget how when you would hit the turn signal. Do you remember, Spike, Japanese motorcycles in the 70s, when you would hit the turn signal, they would bounce? There would be like a bounce sound before it.
Yeah.
I love that. That was a Honda quality vibe that I just loved.
You know, I learned how to drive manual on a Honda.
Honda
Accord. Yeah. Yeah. It got dropped. The rich guy in my neighborhood, Mr. Kelleher. Mr. Kelleher was working with computers. He was a rich guy. And he had this Honda Accord, and he was getting rid of it. My dad bought it for my mom.
Herb Kelleher? And by any chance?
Bert Kelleher.
Oh.
I don't think he's around anymore. He was a computer degenerate like my dad was a salesman degenerate. But a sweetheart guy, I guess. As a kid, you know, you didn't know the difference. He used to make supermarket laminating labels, and I used to cut them when I was 12, one of my first little gigs. He lays off this silver and red Honda Accord at our house, and my brother and I were like, somebody just dropped a Formula One car in our driveway. Five speed, red velour, and silver. We called it the Silver Bullet. And God, you know, even think back, I'm like, I asked my mom recently, like, did you even know how to drive a manual? She goes, no, your dad taught me. You know, we just went out to a parking lot and he taught me how to do it. You know, it was just a thing you kind of learned how to do, but without passion.
Mm-hmm.
You just learn how to get this thing moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that car holds such a special place in my heart still to this day.
Really?
Yeah, I would get another one.
What year was it? 82?
78.
78.
I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong, but I'm...
78 Accord.
I think so. I think.
I'm going to look up what that looks like.
Because that would have given him a year or two to drive it, Mr. Kelleher, and then to pawn it off on my unsuspecting dad. And I remember it was kind of a... My parents had to wrap their head around the idea of getting an import.
78 Honda Accord.
What are you asking, Siri?
Yeah, pictures should match.
Oh, yeah. They look like this?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
that's the car.
Love those cars.
Now,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
When they came out. I would get one today if I found a nice one.
We're nerding out on Honda Accords. We both just said that, which means this very enthusiastic, engaged listener base will be sending us examples.
Yeah, I'm getting one. Somebody, if you can find me a nice blue one. No, really, they had a way about them, those cars. They really had a feel. It was the Honda motorcycle feel.
Yeah. They're simple.
Yeah.
And easy to use and fun. It couldn't have been better. It couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was my mom's car. We had our own cars, but my brother kept crashing them.
And so, I'll tell you this, Spike Ferriston.
Yes.
Not since that car, that late 70s Honda Accord and this Tesla Model 3, it's the same cowl line. The bottom of the windshield is so low.
Right.
And that was the feeling of comfort you had in those early Accords. Do you remember there was like a little shelf?
Yeah.
Right under the windshield? It was so comforting. American cars had that kind of slashed thing that went away from you. It was just a bad shape.
Well, it's something we talk about on the show, too, the smallness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We've got cigars going. The, you know, my neighbor Jimmy Connolly's parents had a Datsun B210.
Right.
We would take that thing out, too.
Little, with the moon hubcaps?
It was yellow and yellow on the outside and yellow on the inside. Jimmy Connolly, I believe, famously threw up in it as he was driving us around. But still, we loved it because we were getting out of our other friends' giant cars, Gran Torinos.
Right, right.
And these big American things.
Right.
And these little things came along.
Yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't have been more fun.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they all were like race cars.
Yeah.
I think they're beautiful. Well, that's sad that that car went down in the Felicity Ace. If you want to read more about it, it's on Drive. I just like out of, I think someone told it up, and I'll get this wrong. I think it was there was $400 million
worth of cars. Yeah, that was the number I heard, too.
That this is the car they're talking about.
That is funny.
That the car community cares. I know what you're thinking out there. Here, let me do another ad, and I'm sorry. I have to do these ads. But I know what you want to hear about, and we're going to talk about it, that special Porsche that was just announced. But first, let's talk about
it. I wish you guys could see my 69 Mercedes 220 diesel that's just sitting out here. It's such a cool car. I mean, you could look it up. That's another car. I'm going to tell you now.
Well, I can take a picture of it.
Oh, yeah,
as they're listening, you can go to my Instagram, and you'll see it. We'll take a photo.
So we're talking about late 60s Mercedes. We're talking about late 70s Honda, and we're talking about the Tesla Model 3. You can throw a hat over the three of them. They are right-sized, and they are like a well-tailored suit. It's like no extra fabric. No overly padded shoulders, no big baggy pants. It just looks right.
I'm going to turn this fan on.
Anyway, that's what I like about those three cars.
Oh, this is the Zuckerman Tyson fan. My own smoke is blowing in my face like Zuckerman. And what are we smoking? Cohibas. Cohibas. And we got a great show. Here it is. Graphene Nano Spray. Our sponsor, 303 Cleaners and Protectants. We love you. This is the stuff I used to get off. Remember when the birds?
Yeah.
When we were driving out and the birds got all over us? Graphene 303 Cleaners. Totally clean Zuckerman's GT2 RS. Gives you a professional protection and a simple use of spray formula. It will keep your car's paint protected for up to 12 months and give an insane level of depth and gloss. You can also use their brand new 303 Graphene Detailer to boost light, dust, and fingerprints in between washes, quick cleanups, not boost them, boost protection and slickness and shine throughout the year. For the 1-2 punch to keep your car looking its best, look no further than 303's line of graphene products, 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating to protect, and 303 Graphene Detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine. Both products available now at Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, and select Walmart locations. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right. I'm going to throw some stats at you guys. You know what was announced. And Johnny Lieberman, I believe, brought this story to us a long time ago, that there were going to be special editions of 911s, three in particular. I think now it's two. We may have some more information on it. But let's talk about this 2023 Porsche 911 Sport Classic that was just announced. A rear drive, stick shifted 911 turbo.
Oh, wait a minute. When they say turbo, so it has the same power as a regular turbo?
I think it has.
I don't think it does.
A little less.
It's 530. It's detuned a little.
The 911 turbo's engine, albeit with reduced output of 543 horsepower, 442 foot-pounds of torque. Lesser output allows the rear wheel drive Sport Classic to adopt a 7-speed manual transmission. So they had to lower the horsepower to get that transmission made into it. Porsche intends to cap production at 1,250 units worldwide. It's not a lot. It makes it significant.
Same as the Carrera GT.
Is that really what that number is?
That's what it turned out to be, yeah.
1,250?
Yeah,
why 1250. That number?
Because they couldn't sell 1,500 of them.
Really?
Yeah, they had to shut it down.
That's almost like the Rolex story.
Yeah.
Watches that don't do well become the watches that become the most valuable. This car, here it is again. You've seen these pictures, right? You've seen this
car? Yeah, have you seen the Gentian Blue version?
Let me look.
It's really, really, that one looks really good.
Wow.
I might change my mind on that.
So when you say you change your mind, you mean you've been offered.
I wasn't initially attracted. To me, 7 speeds is just one too many for a manual. I love, and I'm so in love with their 6-speed box in the 911R and in the 718 Spyder and, you know, all the 4.0 997. I just love the 6-speed. I just love the look of it, the sound of it, the idea of it. That extra gear hanging off the edge, to me, it's like something I want to get out a nail clipper and clip it off.
I would imagine Porsche would let you do that. Isn't there someone you could call and just say, hey, give me the 6-speed version of that?
It could be an interesting car. I mean, you're talking about 2-wheel drive, turbo, very 930-ish in its formulation.
Let me ask you this question. You might not know the answer. Why 7 gears? Why did they do that? Why not 5 gears?
Because you're trying to maintain boost. In a turbo, and look, all 911s are turbo now, except you know, for the GT cars, which have much more horsepower. I don't know. I think it has to do with keeping the power band in the desirable area. It's just easier with 7 speeds,
right?
To keep the revs high.
So you don't think it's fuel consumption and just keeping the RPMs low? So
that too.
Right?
That too, I'm sure, is a factor.
I think this car is desirable. It's coming from the exclusive department, correct?
Correct.
And not the GT department.
Correct.
Right? So that makes it kind of not our thing. But the Porsche Turbo exclusive that came out, who was it that was telling us there are going to be more of these?
There's two more, which they're making 4. They did the Targa one.
The exclusive department.
Yeah, now this one, and then there's 2 more coming. And that guy, he calls himself the 911 guy, Lee Sibley or Silby.
On YouTube, I'm guessing.
YouTube, fantastic guy. You know who I didn't mention last time I was talking about my YouTube favorites? Harry Metcalf, Harry's Garage. He does the most wonderful shows. I never miss a Harry's Garage. And any car I'm really interested in, I want to know what Steve Sutcliffe thinks.
Oh, yeah?
He's a UK motoring journalist.
Yes.
And I think he is the most right on. When he tells you how it feels, that's how it feels.
Yes. The British accent helps all car reviews.
Oh, yeah.
It? It's really hard to go wrong if you have a British accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Sport Classic. What are these other, what do you mean there are 2 more coming? There's 2 announced?
There's 4 in this series of special cars coming out of the exclusive department, special look, special equipment.
Now when Johnny Lieberman brought this up, he said there were going to be 3 cars, is what he heard. First would be the Sport Classic, or not first, one of them. Then there would be an anniversary 73 Turbo of some kind. And then there would be what we all are guessing
73 is, RS, you mean.
73 RS. And this third ST, this 911 ST.
That's definitely a GT department car, no question.
Now, in the...
Should it exist?
The promotional cool, like, 70s video, the Italian... they put this Sport Classic out. They made a really neat little film with it. You saw it, right?
I did see it, yes.
In it, you saw that Targa, that special exclusive department Targa.
Yeah.
You also saw the 73 911 RS.
That's right. Which bothered us, because it made us think, is this the 50th anniversary of the 73 RS with the Sport Classic? That doesn't feel right.
But that's what they're saying.
Who's saying? That's what they're visually saying, but I'm going to believe differently.
That
I'm going to believe the next RS is going to come in a 50th anniversary package option. This is just me guessing.
So you think they're foreshadowing there? They're not saying this is an ode to the 911 RS?
I don't know.
I think you could be right, by the way. I didn't see the relationship between that Heritage exclusive Targa package.
Well,
and then,
it's the whale tail. It's the whale. It's the same whale, same duck tail, I should say.
That's true.
That's the connection. But this is not the race version.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Look what they keep doing to us with these cars.
They're doing great. They just keep teasing us. That's what you're supposed to do.
So I've seen you, now you're saying you were offered one of these cars, and I've seen you do this before with cars. At first you're a little thrown off, and then it's,
yes,
this is my favorite car. You get that call. You did it with a 918. I'm going to pay for you to learn how to be a hybrid?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
$1 million to save money on gas?
And now...
it's my favorite car.
So they were ahead of you of where you're at. Do you think it's possible that they're ahead of you now with this car, the Sport Classic? It's possible.
Anything's possible, of course. Look, let me be candid. Mm-hmm. That's what this show is about. 992 body footprint, as I've said to you, is just a little... it's just a little plump for me. I just find the size of the car, I don't love the size of it. I've been in your GT3 Touring, and that car totally blew my mind because of the new suspension, the new double wishbones. It feels totally different and more advanced. Mm-hmm. And when you know you're in that car, you don't care about anything. So... but this Sport Classic is the conventional regular suspension. In a Touring, a GT3 Touring, it's worth anything. I'll take that any way I could get it. That's an amazing... I think it's the best car I've ever driven.
Your enthusiasm for the GT3 Touring really carried me through that process. I was having a lot of regret and a lot of disappointment early on.
New things always do that.
Yeah, and I couldn't understand why, but the second you drove it, you just went, oh...
yeah, you just go, oh, oh, oh.
And now I see it now.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time with that car.
The steering wheel in that car, I'm still not sure if it's the same size or slightly smaller than the other.
It kind of pokes out a little different.
It's something
comes
about
toward
it.
The driver.
It's amazing. And the quality of the leather is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole reason to buy that car, is get that steering wheel.
Well, you can't get them. People are selling them for $200,000 over.
Wow.
They're literally doubling the prices of them.
Wow.
These dealers.
It's disgusting.
Is it?
Yes, it's a disgusting time that we live in.
Well, we have our GT4. We finally got our build date for the GT4.
Wow.
And
RS.
RS. Hold on, I'm going to let this jet go by. The jets seem like they're back today.
Yeah.
And I've got to thank our friends, Bert Smith Porsche.
Hey, Bert.
In Clearwater, Florida. Corey Biller and the general manager, Mike O'Donnell, who said, you know what? We're going to get you guys an allocation.
It's amazing.
Isn't that nice? They got us an allocation for a car. They were able to hook us up with a special wishes department. I'm not going to tell you too much about the build or the color, but, as you know, the GT3 Touring we did as kind of a low-key city driver. This will not be. This we put a lot of thought into. You were very helpful, Zuckerman, of course, the three of us going back and forth for quite a while. It's amazing how you get lost. You really do get lost when you're speccing out a car. Like, if I didn't have you and Zuckerman there, I would have been lost. You start to put so much importance into these little things.
Yes.
And then you can't sleep, and then you wake up the next day, of course. As I've always said, every nap, you're a different guy. You wake up a different guy. And the different guy goes, what do you mean, that color? Why
yeah.
did you do that? Right? And you need your friends around to go, no, this is good. That's going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
But there are many, many things that can work, and that's why color is an endless loop. It's a infinity wheel.
We're just going to wait for the
planes. Are doing weird things.
This is what
today.
It's like down at the hangar. It's hard to record. It's hard to shoot down here.
Yeah.
But it's super fun to watch the things go by. You know, the Porsche configurator, if you folks don't know right now, has all the paint to sample colors on it. So wow. It used to be, and it, even as recently as when I spec'd out the GT4 RS, you couldn't see it in the color that we chose. Now you can. You can go through, you press the little button, and 20 or 40.
And paint. Would it do the hood treatment that you ordered?
I wasn't going to tell everybody we did that.
Well.
That's what the special wishes department was about. If we whisper, maybe they won't hear it.
So what's the name of that dealer in Clearwater that did you a solid? Bert Smith?
Bert Smith.
Bert Smith Porsche? Is that the name of it?
I think.
give Bert a call for all your Porsche needs down there in Clearwater.
It says Corey Biller, who's our point person down there, and it says Bert Smith Porsche. Yeah.
Coming down to see Bert.
When he first reached out, I said, Clearwater, am I going to have to join Scientology to get a car? And he said, yes. Did you know that Clearwater is the home of Scientology?
I did. I know a little bit about Scientology.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me. What do you know?
I looked into it about 40 years ago.
40?
40 years ago. And I found it interesting. I never followed up, but I found it interesting.
There's good information everywhere.
That's
You're
right.
like that a lot. You were telling a story to somebody the other day about a bookstore at
Zen Bookshop in Hermosa Beach.
In Hermosa Beach.
Yeah. I used to go in there in between shows of the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, and I would buy books on Zen. And I learned Zen. I learned this Eastern way of thinking, and it was very helpful to me, very interesting.
What is Zen?
What is Zen?
What is Zen? I know.
You know, Buddhism is.
I know how to use the words.
It's a branch of Buddhism. Zen Buddhism.
Yeah.
And it's a philosophical way of thinking. And Eastern, of course. And I've always been attracted to Eastern thought. Yoga, meditation, Zen.
So you would come off the stage and go to the Zen bookstore.
Yeah, in between shows to kill time.
Really?
Yeah. I would go in there and I would buy these little Zen comic books. They had Zen comics.
Oh, I know. It was Howie Mandel we were talking
to. Yeah, Howie Mandel. Because Howie was talking about worrying about my health, worrying about COVID and worrying about my kids. I go, I don't worry about any of it.
I found and he invited you on his podcast with his daughter, I guess. I don't know his podcast. He's such a sweet guy. Yeah. So nice. This is on Bill's porch. Bill's porch really is the center of the universe.
It really is, yeah.
And I was thinking, boy, how much fun it would be, these two germphobes.
I'm not a germphobe.
But you were perceived as one.
Perceived as one is correct.
And then the real one.
I'm just neat. I just like neatness and order, but I don't care about germs.
Don't get defensive.
I'll lick the floor right now. I don't.
No, I know, but that's why I would like to see that episode of that podcast.
Right.
That would be really interesting to me.
I'm a little busy right now. Let's take some questions from the fans.
We don't have any questions.
Oh.
I didn't announce this. We just decided to do it at the last minute.
All right.
But I'm sure there are a million questions from the last time that we didn't answer.
Okay.
I can just go there. Let me do the last and final ad, and then we'll take some questions. Raycon, moms are also often one of the few people in our lives who leave voicemails on our phones and call us just to say hi. So this Mother's Day, make that next mom call extra special. Spoil your mom with a gift of quality premium wireless audio, courtesy of Raycon. Raycon wireless earbuds are a must-have for super moms, all those masters of multitasking who need to keep their hands free. With Raycons, they can stay entertained listening to their favorite podcast or music, plus take phone calls with Vivid Voice technology, all hands-free. Raycons are user-friendly, and for those moms who are just switching to wireless earbuds, easy to set up, easy to use, seamless Bluetooth pairing, and kind of fashionable. Fun color options for your mom that suit her personality and style. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable. They will not budge. Trust me, she won't have a hard time getting used to them. Go to buyraycon.com/spike911 to get 15% off for Mother's Day for your order. That's buyraycon.com/spike911. buy raycon.com/bike911. Apparently, the listeners are buying a lot of those Raycons. So these guys are advertising a lot. I'm going to cut the fourth ad because I don't know what it is. Every week, they, you know, by Friday, you get a little list from the producers. Here are the four ads.
Yeah.
And here's the order you have to do them in, which I just learned recently there was an order.
Why, they have different ad rates?
I don't know how it works.
It must be.
I have a great...
I'm sure the one at the beginning is the most expensive one. And the one at the end is the cheapest.
Oh, yeah?
Of course.
Why don't...
Who's listening to all this shit? It's too much.
That is your second profanity in the show, Mr. Seinfeld. Just want to make sure there's no reaction to that. Hold on. I'm gonna look for some questions.
Supposed to be
look,
a clean
I put up
comic.
The picture of all the famous comedians at the lunch.
Who put that up?
You? Me.
Did. Where'd you get it? Oh, you took
I
one?
Took the picture.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
And it's a bunch of tiny little heads. And I said, zoom in and see if you can name all of the famous, funny people in this picture. It really is a remarkable group of people.
I should have got down in the front with Ted.
Where were you?
I didn't want to push my... I don't like to push through a crowd like...
Yeah,
Trump.
But you don't want to do that.
No.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
It was cool, but thank you for bringing me. I was your plus one
on this trip. Fun.
I did enjoy it. All right. Let me go down here and see if I can find... It would have been right around here.
Yeah, I wonder what people think of this sport classic.
Here it is. All right. Here are some new questions. Thanks to our fantastic listeners. Thoughts on Japanese cars increasing in value over the next few years? I think we just covered that.
We did. I just focused on... I when I was a kid and I went to the New York Auto Show, which used to be at the Coliseum in Columbus Circle back in 72... And I was just getting my license, and Honda had a car, the Honda 600. I think it was one of their first cars that they distributed widely in the States. And I think it was $1,300 or something like that. It was a 600cc car. And I really wanted one, and I loved them. And I thought I would love to get one of those. Leno has one of those earlier sports cars, like from the 66. He loves to talk about the valves or like golf tees.
The little Mazda?
No, the little Honda he has, not the Wankel.
Oh, I don't know.
But I think an Accord or the first Civic, if I could find the first Civic.
The first Civics are amazing.
Yeah.
A little orange Civic.
Yeah.
Send us some of those.
Send us those.
Those are like colored golf balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be into that. Somebody showed up to the Peterson with one of those, their little get-togethers, and it was the star of the show.
Really?
Yeah. And there were the multi-million dollar cars, and this little guy came in, and I went, oh.
Wow.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a Prius would run over and crush it like a Diet Coke can. It would just go down.
Yeah.
Just like that. Here's a good question for you. You're going to like this question from Andre Hoots. Is the 10th Porsche as fun as the first one?
Yes, it is.
It's a good question, right?
Any car you get that you want is good.
But you understand what he's asking.
I do understand. Here's a question I might rephrase. Which is more fun, having one car or, let's say, 20 cars? Which is more fun? And I'm going to say the answer to that is difficult. It's a difficult answer. Because, you know what, guys? And women, too. Which is more fun, being married or being single? There's no answer to that. There's no answer to that. They both offer things that the other one doesn't offer.
Right, right.
So you can't, so in a sense, you can't really compare them.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things Letterman said to me when he took me out for that drive in 91.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is amazing that you have so many cars.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, to be honest with you, I can tell you, it also comes with a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And well, he goes, you won't understand that, but maybe someday when you have some cars, you'll understand.
Yeah. Now if you want to enjoy having 10 cars, you got to change the way you think. you can't think normal. You gotta, you have to, like people you ever see in the suburbs, people build a dormer or they build another room out
of it.
They take a screen porch and they turn it into another den. That's what you got to do to your brain. Build it out.
In the beginning, it was very hard for me because I was a perfectionist.
Right.
And then I projected that onto the collection. And as you know, that's that gets really crazy really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's ever perfect.
Right.
Nothing's ever right.
Right.
Something needs maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Something could be better. And even when I could get to what I judged as perfection, then I didn't want to drive the car because I might lessen the perfection. As I've gotten older, I'm caring a little less about it. And I'm letting stuff go and just enjoying it.
Yes.
So, that, you know, you heard me say I'm taking the Zagato down to Wilhoit with a little list of things that I've been collecting over the last 7 months, feeling no pressure to kind of get them done.
Mm-hmm.
And one side, only one of my horns is working.
Right.
I don't have the dual note. That would have sent me into under the sheets. The second I noticed it, I would have had to get that car somewhere to get it
fixed.
If
it was your only car.
No, it's part of my collection. If something's wrong, I couldn't think straight.
Oh, yes, yes.
Until I learned that fixing it isn't going to make me happy. I'm just broken.
No. It will make you happy. And here's the other thing.
But just, it doesn't have to be done immediately is what
I
was saying.
Oh, I see,
I can't not.
Here's what I'll say, and most people won't agree with it, but I'll always maintain this.
Yes.
Obsessing is fun.
Mm.
Obsessing over things is fun if you keep it below crazy. Keep it below the crazy line. Then it's enjoyable to be an obsessive person. I'm a totally obsessive person, but I never let it rattle me.
How?
It's a boost gauge. It's just a boost gauge with a knurled edge. Just turn it down.
Knurled. It never into an uncomfortable area?
No, I won't let it.
And how do you stop it?
I stop it.
How?
I say to myself, stop it.
That's good.
Yeah.
You yell at the little voice in your head.
At myself. Don't do that. Because the most important thing to me in life, don't spoil your fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because fun is hard to have, hard to find. And if you found some fun, protect it.
You famously said, that's why comedians are attracted to cars, because they're fun experts, and cars are fun.
Comedians are fun experts, because the root of the word funny is fun.
Will Jerry ever come back to Iceland?
Oh, I love Iceland.
Idura.
I sure would. I would love to. Beautiful place, the most amazing people, friendly, incredibly attractive people. You heard me talking about them the other day to somebody.
You went there. They used to give you the jet every year, the NBC jet, when you were doing a series, right? And you would take trips with your buddies.
Yeah, and we once went to, someone told me to go to Reykjavik. You won't believe it what it's like. And it's true. Anyone gets a chance to go to Reykjavik, just go. It's amazing. It's better than Disneyland. Great food, incredible, beautiful country, and remarkable people. I love the people of Iceland.
When out driving, this is Joshi Perot. When out driving spiritedly, what three emotions are you experiencing? For example,
you have such a sophisticated fan base.
This guy's really going down a crazy wormhole. What's the percentage of the emotions? For example, contentment 50%, happiness 40%, anger 10%.
Who would put anger in a list of things that are fun?
Joshi Perot would.
You're sick. Get help. Immediately. Seek help.
But yesterday, what were we doing yesterday? We got into the cars yesterday, and halfway to Bill's, we were so happy. But I noticed it myself. I was up here, and I hadn't been driving for a while, and I finally felt good and relaxed.
Right.
But what are the combination of emotions I'm feeling at that moment?
Well, anybody that's a fan of Spike's Car Radio knows my formula for a great drive. It's a four-part formula: the day, the car, the road, and your mood. when you get four out of four, you are having a great day. Hard to do. Three out of four is still pretty good. But the feeling, you know what it is, it's a combination of a dopamine drip and a flow state. Cars are flowing movement, And when the movement is flowing and your actions, your steering inputs and shifting and braking and acceleration are smooth and everything's flowing, that puts you in a flow state, which all behavioral psychologists can tell you is the ultimate state of the human brain. We seek it creatively. We seek it automotively. We seek it amorously. For you young people.
Do you ever write comedy when you're driving, or are you completely tuned out just enjoying the machine?
Comedy's always flowing in and out of my head of jokes and things I want to do a joke about, or I have a joke, how could I make it better? But driving, I mostly check out, and I just listen and feel what the car's doing and why I like it or don't like it. I thought it was very interesting, the experience we had the other day. We both had the same experience. You know, I love this word I made up called carclimate, which is taking the word acclimate and adding the word car to it. Mm-hmm. So Spike took my 964 RS out for a drive, and we went somewhere. We got a coffee. He didn't enjoy the drive up, and on the way back, he absolutely loved the car. On the way up, he found it jittery and jumpy and too tightly wired, and then he carclimated to it, had a beautiful drive home.
Then I was in a completely opposite space. I got to get one. I have to get one.
Right, and the same thing happened to me with my 74 Carrera, which I drove to work on my birthday as a little birthday treat, and hated every second of it. Yeah. I thought, I've got to sell this car immediately.
See, you know what that is? That's expectations leading you to disappointment.
Right.
As the expectations are all disappearing, and you have that bad drive, as you get back into the car, there's nothing there.
The expectation is gone.
All of it's gone.
Right.
You've driven there, you've talked, you're kind of in a zero headspace, and then you experience the car without any judgments or expectations.
Right.
And then you see it. You see it for what it is.
But it really works. Take a drive, you stop, then you take a second drive, and now you have carclimated.
Yeah. If you're stuck in a car, you'll know. By drive five, if you're still having that same experience,
right?
You and the Morgans, you're never gonna ever make your decision about a Morgan up, whether you buy it or not buy it. You're always gonna be in the same space.
Dennis Glavis, are you there?
Morgan West, car still for sale.
Here's the other thing. I just want to drop in as often as I can. Something I as an ambition of mine. I just want to change water-cooled. Stop saying water-cooled Porsches. They're not water-cooled. They're liquid-cooled. Okay? Can you drink it? No. Then it's not water. It's liquid-cooled.
You're going to say this every time you're on the show?
Yes. Every time I'm on the show, it's a liquid-cooled Porsche.
I think I'm guilty of that. I think
everybody is, and I'm going to single-handedly try and change that.
Danny wants to know, if you're heading out for a date night, what car do you grab? In other words, does your wife like what you guys collect?
You only want to drive a car that the person you're going on a date with will like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you're thinking about.
And that's never GT cars for me.
No, no. They might like that for a morning run for coffee if it's a good road.
I would make the mistake all the time with Erica taking her in. Like, hey, this is a Zagato. You got to get out of this. I can't hear you, and I'm trying to do my hair. I always find it's the most comfortable, luxurious cars, press cars mostly, like the Bentley Continental GT press car.
Oh, sure.
Erica went, oh.
My wife likes my old 356s, though.
Oh,
you know
does?
What women really love is my 52 America Roadster.
Right.
Because it has leather straps on the front lid.
Yes.
They love that.
But now there's a whole new generation of women who like these GT cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure there are.
We don't know them, but I see them on Instagram, and I wonder if they date men who don't like their GT cars. I'd be interested in knowing that.
I would like to hear about that too.
Because I think that's just a car person, non-car person conversation.
Right.
But you're right, whoever it is, man or woman.
Yeah, I
get whatever the date likes.
Yeah, whatever they might like.
That's what you use. It's not about you.
Not about you.
Kind of about you. You won't answer this. Dylan Callahan wants to know, how much does it cost to take care of the large collection of cars? Insurance maintenance.
Like, I have a clue.
Why would we want to talk about that or even think about it?
No.
You have to not add those numbers up ever.
I got to say, because I did buy a lot of good cars before
the run-up,
the value of the cars going up really defrayed the maintenance costs.
Right. It's true.
I got a big laugh out of Sebastian Maniscalco today. Were you standing there? This was one of the most satisfying laughs of the day. We were standing there with Guy Osiri, who is a...
That was Guy Osiri?
Yeah, the guy with the gray hair and the gray beard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. One of the most brilliant guys in the business, and also maybe the nicest guy in the business. Anyway, he is a venture capital guy now. Doesn't do as much in the business as he used to. He just buys companies and does incredibly well. So he's very good at whatever you call that, futurism. So Sebastian, he was telling us about some company that he almost bought. The Aura Ring, he almost bought into that when it was new. And I said, Sebastian, you know that frustration you feel like, I wish I was smart enough to know what to buy when these things start up, you know? You bought comedy cheap. You bought comedy the way other people bought Apple in 1995. Yeah. You bought comedy.
Yeah, and there it is. Right?
Yeah, he was howling at that.
Now he sells Madison Square Garden out 18 shows.
Oh, my God. He's so amazing.
Yeah.
Deserves every penny.
He's... I asked him about cars, too. He's been a guest on the show. I go, what are you driving? He goes,
yeah, what are you driving?
I'm into the minivans right now. These kids are young. And he was just saying, you know, this truth about you, if your kids are happy in any vehicle, a tractor, you love the thing. So he's leaning heavy into a Mercedes minivan. And
well,
he loves it because the kids love it.
When my kids were little and we bought our first Honda Odyssey, it was stunning.
Yeah.
What a great car that is.
Yeah.
And I got it with spinners. Remember those wheels, the spinners?
I remember that.
Yeah, well, that was so fun.
You had to make it funny. You can't make it cool, so I'm going to make it funny. And you put spinner hubcaps on it.
Yeah.
So it would come to a stop, and the hubcaps would still spin. That was great.
Yeah.
I wanted to try that, and it got shut down in my house. But boy, that was such a funny idea. Well, look, there's our show, man. We just did an hour.
What are Seinfeld's three rules? Transcendental meditation, exercise, espresso. That was an espresso show.
Yeah.
And a Cuban cigar.
All right. Well, let's finish these cigars and chill out on this Sunday. It's been good to visit with all of you. We have a great show next week. You're going to hear a very, very exciting story from Mr. Zuckerman about one of his very, very special cars.
And police interaction.
And very horrible thing that happened. That's all we're going to tell you about it. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.